Reading to you from 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Actually, I want to read 10 through 17 this morning. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And maybe the most looked at verses in this passage we come to often, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Father, help us this morning to honor mothers as you have created motherhood and womanhood. Biblically speaking, Lord, may we not veer from knowing who these women are, these creations of yours. If it were not for mothers, not a one of us would be here. And we praise you for life that you gave through our mothers. We praise you that they chose life and didn't choose to abort life. We praise you, O God, for your holy word and your holy way. In Jesus' name, amen. Motherly wisdom. Just looking here then at mainly verses 14 and 15. Most of you have heard those familiar words in verse 16, and many of you have heard the follow-up verse there in verse 17 that goes together. And these two verses not only speak to the entirety of the book of 2 Timothy, but they refer to the full revelation of God to us in our Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Now, that's just a focus on verses 16 and 17, just a brief focus. And we can also be certain that in saying these words, and the words also in verses 14 and 15, as given by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, that they are for encouraging Timothy, and for that matter, all readers and listeners thereafter to stay strong in the Word of God, to continue living under the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pay special attention to those in your life who have sacrificed themselves to teach you the truths of God. In Timothy's case, it was his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois who sacrificed to school him in the sacred scriptures. Their efforts did not go unnoticed, nor were they in vain. Robert Ingersoll was an American politician and lecturer who lived back in the 19th century. A few of the subjects that he lectured on extensively were free thought, agnosticism, humanism, abolitionism, and women's rights. And largely because of the influence of his father's liberal viewpoints on Christianity, and specifically, Robert himself was a renowned skeptic. So while he was in his heyday, there were a couple of college students who just had gone to hear him lecture. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one of them said to the other, "Well, I guess he just knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he?" And the other said, "No, I don't think he did. He did not explain my mother's life, and until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God." I'm sure that Timothy reacted much the same way to anyone who challenged his belief in God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He had grown up in an environment of motherly wisdom, a wisdom that understood marriage as a parable of Christ and his church. A wisdom that realized motherhood as the life-on-life transmission of a God-centered, Christ-treasuring worldview. A wisdom that knew home management as the creation of a living organism that nurtures the peace of Christ and the righteousness of God. Dear mothers, this message is specifically for you on this day, this Mother's Day 2021. But this dedication of this message to you as mothers does not mean that there will be no application to men and children. It does mean that God has something to say about the wisdom of mothers in His kingdom. From the text here in verses 14 and 15, we can now extract a couple of kingdom truths that are not solely applicable to mothers, but certainly have definite relevance to mothers. Here's the first truth this morning. Wise mothers train their children to have firm beliefs. Wise mothers train their children to have firm beliefs. Paul tells Timothy to continue in what he has learned and what he has firmly believed in, knowing from whom he learned it. Remember who taught you, Timothy. Paul has already made a connection between Timothy's faith and the faiths of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois back in chapter 1 of this very epistle, 2 Timothy. There, he said that he was reminded of Timothy's sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and then in his mother Eunice. And now, Paul is very sure, dwells in Timothy as well. Same faith. Please note that Paul indicates that Timothy firmly believes his faith. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't waver. He is thoroughly and unashamedly convinced of its truth. This is true because he had a wise mother who had a wise mother, who both trained their children to have firm beliefs in something. This is important. In this case, the firm belief is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moms, please teach your children to believe in something. Teach them to believe in something. Things of God are important. Don't be like the mother who wants to make sure that her children are exposed to every belief on the planet in order that they might make up their little minds and choose the right higher power. Don't be that way. That is not a good practice. Their beliefs will never solidify, and they will be more and more and more confused, just as you would have been if you had not been taught properly. If you allow them to wander aimlessly into all religions, hoping to give them a broad understanding of this higher power, you've already lost the battle of trying to teach them who Jehovah God is and that He is the only one and true God. Now, obviously, fathers take the medicine. Mothers are not alone in teaching this. Timothy had firm beliefs in God because he had a faithful mother and a faithful grandmother. He also had Paul as a spiritual mentor. Now, who wouldn't want that? We would take Paul. What he apparently didn't have was a godly father. And how do we know that? Well, if you look in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Luke gives us just a little insight there of Timothy's parents and describes how Paul and Timothy first met. Here's verse 1 of chapter 16 of Acts. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was a disciple of his own mother, a Messianic Jew she was. However, Timothy's father was a Greek, and by the context of this verse, an unbelieving father. Timothy had to lean on his mother and, of course, obviously, his grandmother. Much of what Paul is telling Timothy here in verse 14 of our main text is to continue in the training that he received from his mother. Continue in that training. It is solid. You can't go wrong with it. Paul knew that his words would be an encouragement to Timothy. Remember what Timothy has to do. He has to go confront the false teachings at Ephesus. We've been just hammering through that in 1 Timothy. It's just another letter here reminding him where his faith is at, where he knows it to be, where he can count on it staying. It is faith in Jesus Christ. It is the same faith that his mother and his grandmother had. It's not the one his father had, if he had any at all. That's not the case for every family. that's the case for Timothy, and he knew where he needed to stand. He knew where he needed to lean. Encouragement to Timothy. Kent Hughes has a few words on this idea. He says, think what it would mean if we could say to all of our children, quote, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. You know your pastors, you know your Sunday school teachers, you know your fathers, your mothers, and your grandparents. You know that what they have taught you, and that you know that their lives match the teaching of their lips. Is that important? Absolutely is. We do fail times, but we know what he's saying. He continues here. He says, so continue in the gospel because you know from whom you learned it, end quote. But he also says, as he wrote that, he says, fellow Christians, this is the kind of challenge. This kind of challenge will bring continuance. Continuance of the gospel, continuance of the spreading of Jesus Christ, continuance of the planting of churches for the gospel kingdom. This is what the church needs, he says. Is that not true? This is what we need. Men and women of faith, specifically we're talking about mothers. So wise mothers train their children to have firm beliefs. Second truth in our text is this. Wise mothers immerse their children in God's word. Wise mothers immerse their children in God's word. Now, it may have been true that Timothy did not have a God-fearing father to make sure that he was subjected to the holy word of God. But Timothy's mother was wise. She was very wise to immerse her son in the revelation of God to man. Yes. Eunice herself must have been well grounded in the scriptures, no doubt, because of her own mother, Lois. Lois grew up in a Jewish home where the words from Deuteronomy 6 were understood. And they were well understood, and it would do us well to go and review them as again. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, and that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commands, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Oh, the power of God in his word. Oh, the power of the Holy Bible. It is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul said in Romans 16, or 1:16. Here, Paul says to Timothy in verse 15, the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. You want to be a child of God? You want to be saved into the kingdom? Learn the word of God. It will draw you in. That's how it works. It is God's word that saves you. It is God who saves you in his holy word. No, nothing else. Timothy, remember what your mother told you. She was spot on. I want you to hear the words of another wise mother who just a few short years ago took the time to observe the culture around her. Dorothy Patterson is a learned individual, and she gives a warning to the church and to those women who buy into the contemporary womanhood / motherhood ideology. She says this: the church today sounds like the world 25 years ago. It has lost its great power to stand against culture. Scripture has been shanghaied to suit the purposes of the age and to conform to the current cultural scene. The virtues and vices of Christianity have been inverted so that the self-gratifying personal rights, selfishness, and self-interests are exalted. Whereas self-effacing submission, humility, and service to others are degraded. She goes on to say, while I am not implying that every career woman is selfish, I am saying that the social atmosphere, this is very important, I am saying that the social atmosphere causes women to crave professional pursuits over the family. That very thing, whatever does do that, is perverted by unbiblical assumptions and an ungodly spirit of assertion and self-gratification. She's spot on too. She writes that in an article entitled The High Calling of Wife and Mother in Biblical Perspective. And that little article is embedded in another important book that was edited by John Piper and Wayne Grudem called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, A Response to Evangelical Feminism. Folks, there are some good things out there for us to get a hold and read. Nothing trumps the Word of God, but it better be pointed to the Word of God. Mothers, you cannot afford to drop your guard on making sure the Bible is taught and obeyed in your home. Families are falling apart. The church is losing ground in our society because this ball has been dropped over and over again in lieu of the false promises of personal betterment and unlimited prosperity. Some of you in this room know and have been dealing with this recently, and this is not easy to deal with in our culture. Second truth, wise mothers immerse their children in God's Word. Wise mothers train their children to have firm beliefs. They immerse their children in God's Word. Again, to mothers this morning, I'm going to close this message with 15 challenges for each of you. But as I do that, you men put on the man ears too. Because it's not just that the women, today is their day, but these will fit. Now, this is a list developed by John Piper some years back for a seminar in his church. And I think they're very, very valid calls to worship, really. Challenges for you, Mom. Number one, that all of your life, in whatever calling, be devoted to the glory of God. That the promises of Christ be trusted fully, so fully that peace and joy and strength fill your soul to overflowing. There's that welling up again, isn't it? The welling up of the holiness of God within us. Three, that this fullness of God overflow in daily acts of love so that people might see your good deeds and give glory to the Father. That you would be women of the book. Love and study and obey the Bible in every area of its teaching. That meditation on biblical truth be the source of hope and faith. That you continue to grow in understanding through all the chapters of your life, never thinking that study and growth are only for others. The fifth one, that you be women of prayer so that the Word of God will be opened to you. That's just the promise of God. Seek me and you'll find me. So that the power of faith and holiness will descend upon you, that your spiritual influence may increase at home and in the church and in the world. Six, that you be women who have a deep grasp of the sovereign grace of God, which undergirds all these spiritual processes, and that you be deep thinkers about how God applies His grace, and even deeper lovers of these things. Love to know how God works. That doesn't mean you have to understand every aspect of how God works. None of us do. But we love to know that He works in us and through us and will do all things according to His will. Seven, that you be totally committed to ministry, whatever your specific calling. That you do not fritter away your time on soaps or women's magazines or unimportant hobbies or shopping. That you redeem the time for Christ and His kingdom. Eight, that if you are single, you exploit your singleness to the full in devotion to God, the same way that Jesus and Paul and Mary Slessor and Amy Carmichael did. Yes. If you don't know who Mary Slessor or Amy Carmichael are, Google, don't be paralyzed by the desire to marry. And Mr. Piper has a lot to say about single women because he doesn't leave them out, not just in this set of verses, but he's well known for making sure that the entirety of females are addressed properly. And he holds singleness in high regard, as does God, as one is called to be that way. Same for men too, but we're talking to women. Here, God is speaking to us today in that way. Number 9, that if you are married, you creatively and intelligently and sincerely support the leadership of your husband as deeply as obedience to Christ will allow. What does that statement mean? It means sometimes your husband sins and you have to correct him. But that's not all the time. Okay? You encourage him in his God-appointed role as head, that you influence him spiritually primarily through your fearless tranquility, holiness, and prayer. That's a mighty woman. Fearless tranquility and holiness and prayer. That's mighty in Christ. 10, that if you have children, you accept responsibility with your husband or alone, if necessary, to raise up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children who hope in the triumph of God, sharing with your husband the teaching and discipline that they need and giving them special attachment that they crave from you, as well as the special nurturing touch and care that you alone are fitted to give them. Number 11, that you not assume that secular employment is a greater challenge or a better use of your life than the countless opportunities of service and witness in the home, in the neighborhood, the community, the church, and the world. That you not only pose the question, career or full-time homemaker, but that you ask just as seriously, full-time career or freedom for ministry. That you ask, which would be greater for the kingdom? To work for someone who tells you what to do to make his or her business prosper, or to be God's free agent dreaming your own dream about how your time and your home and your creativity could make God's business prosper? And in this, that you make your choices not on the basis of secular trends or upward lifestyle expectations, but on the basis of what will strengthen the faith of the family and advance the cause of Christ. 12. Notice they're getting longer. There's more meat in them, but we will be done very shortly. That you step back and with your husband, if you are married, plan the various forms of your life's ministry in chapters. Chapters are divided by various things: strength, age, singleness, marriage, employment, children at home, children in college, grandchildren, retirement, etc. No chapter has all the joys. Finite life is a series of trade-offs. Finding God's will and living for the glory of Christ to the full in every chapter is what makes it a success, not whether it reads like somebody else's chapter or whether it has in it what only another chapter will bring. 13, that you develop a wartime mentality and lifestyle, that you never forget that life is short, that billions of people hang in the balance of heaven and hell every day, and that the love of money is spiritual suicide, and that the goals of upward mobility, nicer clothes, cars, houses, vacation, food, hobby, etc., are a poor and a dangerous substitute for the goals of living for Christ with all your might and maximizing your joy in ministry to the needs of people. 14, that in all your relationships with men, not just in marriage, you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit in applying a biblical vision of manhood and womanhood, that you develop a style and demeanor that does justice to the unique role of God has given to man to feel responsible for gracious leadership in relation to a woman. A leadership which involves elements of protection, provision, and a pattern of initiative, that you think creatively and with cultural sensitivity, just as he must do, in shaping the style and setting the tones of your interaction with men. 15, that you see the biblical guidelines for what is appropriate and inappropriate for men and women, not as arbitrary constraints on freedom, but as wise and gracious prescriptions for how to discover true freedom, the true freedom of God's ideal of complementarity. We are to be complementarians. complement one another. Our roles complement each other. That you do not measure potential by the few roles withheld. What he's saying is that the roles, like the women teaching in the church body, are not to be. But for you as a woman to not look at the limitation, but to look at the countless roles that are offered. This is the same in the men's world too. If a man does not meet the qualifications for an elder, there are thousands of other things the man can do in the church. But where does our finite, evil-prodded mind want to think? It wants to think about that one thing we can't have, just like telling your child, this is all good, but you can't have that. This little box of sugar over here. And then, so where's the focus? All right? So the same thing happens in our lives, and we must get over that by looking to the God of Scripture, who gives us countless opportunities. Mothers, look to the loving God of Scripture and dream about the possibilities of your service to Him. Dream about that. Timothy was a leader who well knew the value of motherly wisdom, especially in regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I would ask you, mothers, do your children know the gospel because of your efforts to teach them firmly and immerse them in the Word of God? Let's pray this morning. Oh God, thank you for your words of truth, your unlimited wisdom. Lord, we are finite creatures. We acknowledge that before you. We are born as sinners into this world. We need salvation from a holy God, and the holy God that provides that is Jehovah God, His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all one God, all the same God, all at the same time. The human mind cannot wrap that in its grip, but we accept it on faith that you have given us, and we believe it, and we believe that we have been given an opportunity to find glory even this day in our mothers and what they have done. And surely, Lord, we know that not a mother on this planet has done the perfect job. But we continue to seek your grace and mercy because there's not a father on this planet that has done anything like that either. But your Son, O God, has reached it. He was always there in full perfection as God of the universe, and creator, sustainer, Lord God. This is the Son we speak of. His name is Jesus. And in His name, we honor mothers on this great day, this great Lord's Day, in the year of our Lord 2021. In Christ's name, amen.